This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first call your parents to say, "I'm sorry." And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In recent episodes, we've talked about the potential re-signings of both Patrick Williams and DeMar DeRozan in separate episodes. On today's episode, I want to talk about how difficult it really is going to be for this team to truly maneuver through their salary cap situation without making major changes, and why basically continuity can't return to the Chicago Bulls again this season. We're also going to look at some of the best trade destinations from an article on Zach LaVine and the top six trade destinations for him. We're going to get into all that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into this content. And so I want to start off with this situation around the Chicago Bulls, right? So in last few episodes, I've talked about should the Bulls re-sign Patrick Williams. I've also talked about DeMar DeRozan and should DeMar DeRozan, or the risk of DeMar DeRozan being overpaid. And I want to talk about kind of the bring it all together and just how difficult it really is going to be for this front office to maneuver with their avoidance of the luxury tax, which we know is a mandate by the ownership group, right? And so when you look at it, when you look at the situation, we know that the Chicago Bulls offered DeMar DeRozan a two-year, $40 million contract, right? I'm sorry, $80 million contract, $40 million annually. That's rumored. Casey Johnson reported that. We don't know if that's for sure but we're going to use that kind of in the base of this conversation. If Patrick Williams signs his qualifying offer and does not sign a long-term contract with the Chicago Bulls for less than that qualifying offer, that means that the rest of the roster, right, it means no Zach LaVine trade, nothing for Lonzo Ball. He's still on the roster there. That means letting all your free agents go, and Andre Drummond, Javonte Green, Torrey Craig, if he does walk, and Batum, even with him having a team option on that, which it's not guaranteed the Bulls can get out of that contract, that would still put the Bulls at a right under $12 million over the luxury tax and $4.4 million past the first apron. And that would be with no other additions to the roster. You're still four men down, four roster spots down if you do that, right? And that's just not a realistic team or thing that you can field out there. You cannot field an actual NBA team if you re-sign DeMar and bring back Patrick Williams, even just at his qualifying offer. And there's not really any speculation the Bulls won't at least extend that qualifying offer to Patrick Williams. So, and even if, with that number said, because it's a little bit below $12 million, even if you don't re-sign Patrick Williams or for some reason he signs to another team, that leaves you about only a little over $1 million, right? $1, $2 million to play with. That's still not going to, you're not going to field a team that way, right? Now, the Chicago Bulls, in that scenario where they don't make any other changes to the roster, they bring LaVine back, everything, they could still waive and stretch Lonzo Ball, which then would leave them with only 12 roster spots, but they would be a little bit underneath the luxury tax. That would save them under the luxury tax with that, but you're still not really getting a whole lot. 12-man roster with only a few million dollars under the luxury tax, you still can't use your full mid-level exception to add to this team. That's not realistic. Then if you don't sign DeMar DeRozan back, right, and you let some of the other options expire, let's say Torrey Craig goes somewhere else, Andre Drummond goes somewhere else, right, you then do re-sign Patrick Williams maybe to a longer-term deal, that is a major retooling of this roster, right? Yes, that gives you way more freedom to kind of even use your full mid-level exception. Then if you do end up moving off of Zach LaVine and don't taking all of his salary back in a deal, right, you're giving yourself even more space, but then you have to ask yourself the question of, all right, who's really going to come here? What free agents are going to sign here for the Chicago Bulls? So when you look at the totality of this situation with the Bulls, the avoidance of the luxury tax, You still have to field a team, right? You still have to put a competent team out there, you know, whether the Bulls are trying to contend, compete, or just be what they're going to be and see if they can keep their own draft pick in 2025. You still have to be able to put a team out there. You need more than 12 people. So if the Bulls do look to move on from any of their other veterans on top of not signing DeMar DeRozan, you know, what you get back in a Zach LaVine trade probably is going to be your bench at that point, right? And that's if you, depending on how many players you get back in that area. So it makes sense to a degree, you know, and but those are really the options. Like, full continuity is not happening. And so for some of the Bulls fans, and the reason why I wanted to talk about this is that I see a lot of guys, and like I said before, it's a valid concern. Let me be clear here. This is not me saying that you guys are not valid and you're concerned that the Bulls are going to do nothing. They're just going to run everything back. We realistically can't run everything back. So when AK talks about that there's changes coming, it's almost forced upon him, right? In a degree, it's good that he does understand that we do need changes made to this roster. But let's be very clear here. In a lot of ways, this is also forced between the not paying the luxury tax and just where you are right now. And so the Bulls, they're sitting in this place where they have to decide between maybe going a youth movement, maybe sending off some of those pieces. And so, like in yesterday's video, I expected it. I said it in the video. There are going to be a lot of Bulls fans that say, we got to bring DeMar back. DeMar played XYZ. He played this for us. He did this for us. But the thing that you have to, it's not just that. That looking at that in a vacuum, I agree with you. But when you look at it in the totality of building an NBA team, the fact of the matter is this: if you keep DeMar DeRozan and sign him at that $40 million level, right? That's the key thing in all of this. If it's less than that, cool. Don't worry about it. Take all this, ball it up, throw it away. But if it is that $40 million level, you are then holding on to DeMar DeRozan, which means losing young pieces to this team and even having to sell off draft picks, future young players, to be able to keep DeMar here and continue building a team around DeMar DeRozan. The Bulls front office faces a decision where they have to decide between keeping DeMar, right? Keeping as much of this core together as possible, or a really big overhaul of this roster. Not a complete rebuild, but a major retooling at the very least. Now, maybe the Bulls are looking at a situation and maybe they feel confident in a situation where they can send out Zach LaVine for and only take back half of his salary or something, which would eliminate a lot of these questions. At that point, if you combine that with a wave and stretch of Zoe or something else, then you get into that area. But let's be clear here. This is not easy. This is not easy. And, you know, and even me, this is even an oversimplification of presenting it here in this segment. It's a very big oversimplification, right? But fans, we simplify it even more. It's not just as simple as, oh, well, DeMar sacrificed for us. Let's bring DeMar back. Oh, it's not as simple as, oh, well, Zach LaVine, you know, he look, Zach LaVine could be a prolific scorer with somebody left to comment on. Let's bring him back. You can't bring everything back. And you have to make, this team has to make a tough decision on a few of the players here and what they're going to do and what it means for the future of this roster. This is a tough position to be in. Let's don't overlook that because of just the ease that it is to talk about it, either re-signing a player or not. This isn't just that. And so that's where this front office has to sit down and really make their decision and make a clear path on what are you going to do? What's happening here, right? So, I mean, it's going to be fun to watch either way, right, to watch this offseason and watch to see how it navigates. But it's not as simple as continuity reigns supreme again. That continuity can't be. This is the first season where continuity can't be. Either way, you're losing major, major pieces to your roster. That's just what's going to happen here. There's no way around it. And so, you know, the wave and stretch function does work. And I do think that when you look at how AK talked about the Lonzo Ball situation, that they haven't made those decisions yet. He didn't sound overly confident of them absolutely bringing him back yet. And they shouldn't be, you know, and I know that there are some big Lonzo Ball fans and stands out there, however you want to shake it up, right, that look at it and say, well, Lonzo has to come back. They have to bring Lonzo back. Look at what he was when he's here. That player is more than likely not coming back. And the Bulls have to ask themselves, is the percentage chance Lonzo Ball can get back to that in the 1 year that you still have him under contract? Because guess what? I hate to wake everybody up with this. Lonzo Ball, it's going to end up, unless he's going to take a veteran minimum contract at the end of this year, he's more than likely not coming back to the Chicago Bulls. And he's going to be hard-pressed to find a big deal because it's just not going to happen, right? And again, another wake-up call for those that say we can't absolutely We can't lose DeMar. He's been everything we asked him to be. Nobody said that he hasn't. But you have to look at the business aspect of this. The human element is the human element. You can't take away from that. But the business aspect of all of this is you have to make a decision, and that tough decision is going to have to come. Three players, tough decisions made on. Lonzo, we know what he was here. It's not his fault. I don't blame him. He didn't ask to be injured. It is what it is there. DeMar DeRozan, a player that has been definitely everything that you wanted him to be, realistically. Some Bulls fans have some hopes that he's going to be something he's never been. And then you have Zach LaVine, who still has promise, right? Is what, about to turn 30, I think, at some point next season. And the questions around what, how much is he going to be able to stay healthy, the impact of that contract overall, but he can still perform on the court theoretically, like when he gets healthy. It's just these three pillars right here are some of the biggest decisions that are going to be made. A combination of any of the two of them not being here with Chicago anymore kind of eliminates the luxury tax in the cap space portion of it. But what two of that is going to be? It's going to end up going to be all three. And then don't overlook the decisions that still need to be made on like an Alex Caruso, right? Because he is going to have value out there on the trade market. Difficult decision, difficult offseason ahead for the Bulls. It's not going to be as easy as, like I said, even what this segment made it.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Seem as, but hey, we'll talk about it. And in talking about it, I do want to talk about it. So there's an article from Aaron Kellerstrass, I believe is how you pronounce his name, and he had six teams that could be options for Zach LaVine. And I want to talk about those six options here. Really good article. You guys go and check it out. It's on Pimp It Ain't Easy if you guys aren't familiar with it. But the one that he lists here, the one that I'm going to start off with, is the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I think the Cavs make sense, right? The Cavs sit in a situation where they are terrified to lose Donovan Mitchell for nothing. And not to say that the Bulls are going to get Donovan Mitchell in that case, but if they end up sending Donovan Mitchell to a team of his choosing or whatever else it is, they could be looking to do a three-team trade. Maybe Zach LaVine could fill some things there. It makes some sense. The name keeps popping up on separate outlets. So it makes some sense that the Cavs could be interested in the Zach LaVine market, depending on what else happens with their roster. I don't know how realistic it's going to happen. Like, they may very well let Donovan Mitchell walk. I don't know what's going to happen there. But if they make Donovan Mitchell available in trade talks this offseason, which, again, execs expected to be a busy offseason, one of those teams that could get busy is the Cleveland Cavaliers. Makes sense there. The Charlotte Hornets are also listed on there as the number five team. And when you look at the Hornets, it makes some sense in the case that the Hornets, much like the Bulls, much like the Magic, are never really free agent destinations. And so because of that, and because they have movable contracts in Bertans and Grant Williams that they could use, you know, to kind of slot in some salary for Zach LaVine, depending on what they do with Miles Bridges, it makes some sense there to try to pair somebody with LaMelo, Brandon Miller. Melo, you don't ever know if he's going to be able to stay healthy, fully healthy. So that's a case there as well, that the Charlotte Hornets could be one of those teams. And then you start getting into some of the teams that were rumored kind of in the season. The Sacramento Kings are one that were actually listed as well on the worst options on Bleacher Report for Zach LaVine to go to, as far as the worst fits for Zach LaVine. That would be completely them doubling down on offense with no defense. To me, the Sacramento Kings don't need more offense. They need more defense. But hey, if they're willing to get involved in that, considering that they could lose Malik Monk in free agency and could be looking for a scoring punch, maybe they could pivot towards Zach LaVine. Like I said, we've heard those rumors that they could be interested in him before. They do have free agent options that they can decline, that they could try to get involved with that. And so when you look at the way that it's working out there in Sacramento, they could definitely be a place they can easily put together the contracts needed to match a portion of Zach LaVine's salary while creating some own salary cap space for themselves. And that depends on, do they want to include a Harrison Barnes, who's a veteran, right? Things like that. Does it come down to Trey Lyles being available? So they got some players that they can make available for the Bulls, you know, to match those salaries. So these great deals, I already know there's Witten's probably going to be pulling his hair out in these. ATS is going to be typing his ass away, because these aren't great trades for the Bulls, but these are kind of, I think, if I can't speak for Aaron in this case, who wrote this article, but, you know, maybe he's looking at the salary cap aspect of it. And then the Orlando Magic there as team number three. And the Magic are going to be an interesting team because they are a team that have the defensive ability to absorb a player like Zach LaVine, right? Is that you look at them, they were ranked 22nd in offense last season. So they do need an offensive punch. And you look at what they have with like how their players have rounded out and turned into defenders. A player like Jonathan Isaac, right? Like how he's turned into one of the better perimeter defenders in the league. And they could be looking for a scoring punch to add there. So, hey, it could get interesting. You know, in this, they do talk about Jonathan Isaac or Wendell Carter being players that the Magic could look to move. I don't know if the Bulls are going to want to get, but that would be a crazy turn of events to end up getting Wendell Carter back in the trade. Not necessarily saying that that's the case, but when you look at the Orlando Magic and the need that they have offensively, 22nd ranked offensive team, but an extremely solid defensive team, I think that they could very well be one of those teams that could look at the offensive firepower that Zach LaVine brings and thinks, hey, we have enough here defensively to kind of absorb that. And the Orlando Magic are also a team that they have players, some of their best players are still on rookie scale contracts. They don't have to worry about paying Paolo for a while. They still got Franz Wagner under control contract for a while there as well, right? So because a lot of their players is Suggs, I don't think is up. Cole Anthony, I don't think is up for an extension yet either. Could be wrong on that. I don't intimately follow the contract situation of the Orlando Magic, but those are teams that also could be, that is a team that could, you know, be interested in taking on parts of Zach LaVine's contract because by the time they have to extend Paolo, things like that, Zach LaVine will be ready to start expiring and then, you know, they can move on with that, give those young players, you know, the focus at that point in time. So the Orlando Magic are a team that I think is going to be interesting for a lot of names out there on the trade market this offseason because they can fill the contracts to be able to absorb, to be able to match some salaries. So, and they can also create a little cap space for themselves. I believe they can create up to $18 or $19 million in cap space, which is enough to absorb a big portion of money as well. So the Orlando Magic got some flexibility there. The question is are they willing to pull the trigger? And if they are, is a player like Zach LaVine the player that they will pull the trigger on? And they may have to just take what's left, right? And, you know, in me and Pat's discussion over on Locked On Bulls, we basically talked about, like, the Orlando Magic have never really been a team that has signed free agents, ever, right? They've had some signings, as every team has, but they don't really sign a lot of big-name free agents. So because of that, they could look to make those moves out on the trade market because it doesn't seem like free agents are going to come there. So that's one. And then at number two on this list, the Atlanta Hawks on here. Now, the Atlanta Hawks are a team that everybody's kind of watching to see what they do with this. Do they move Trae Young? Do they move DeJounte? And while I don't know if either come to the Bulls, right? Again, this will probably be another team that maybe looks at that as a three-team trade, maybe. It could make some sense. A DeJounte Murray, Zach LaVine backcourt is a backcourt that makes a lot more sense than Trae Young and DeJounte Murray, but that's if the Atlanta Hawks decide to pull the trigger on the Trae Young being the trade. It looks like they're looking to move either Trae or DeJounte Murray, but which one of those players they bet on could ultimately determine what type of player they look to bring back, right? And so they do have the contracts of DeAndre Hunter as well that they could look to be out there on top of things. So, you know, they got to see some things. Now, Hunter, if he is involved in a trade to come to the Chicago Bulls, the benefit of him is that his contract at the most is $24 million. And so he's on the books for the same amount of time as Zach LaVine's contract, but because of the difference in the cap, right? It's $24 million versus over $40 million. It could be something that the Bulls could, you know, take on to add themselves some cap flexibility as well. And then the number one team they had on here is the Detroit Pistons. And I agree with this one. The Pistons were the team that it seemed like before Zach LaVine's season-ending injury were the team at the pole position to get Zach LaVine. They were the most likely team for trade Zach LaVine. And then they ended up trading a lot of those assets that they were rumored to be in the Zach LaVine trade in a New York trade or other trades. But they still have Ivy down there that they could look to move. They are going to have some cap space. We know that Detroit definitely is not going to be a free agent destination. So those things could lend it to itself to being a team that they pivot back towards the Zach LaVine. Clearly, the Bulls and the Pistons have had talks centered around Zach LaVine already. So it would really be truly just picking up those talks and doing a new variation of that deal because they've made other trades. So that's something else that could happen there as well. So keep a look on this. I don't think the market is going to be as barren for Zach LaVine as I initially thought and as a lot of people initially thought. just because of the movement around the league. So we'll end up seeing what's going to happen with that. Could happen, it could not happen, but we'll see. Now, with that said, before we go, I want to update on the story that I talked about yesterday. So I talked about how The Athletic reported that the Chicago Bulls could move over from NBC to Stadium or to this new Standard Broadcasting Company. But a new wrinkle has been presented in this. This comes from the Chicago Sun-Times, in which they talked about the fact that one of the biggest challenges in all of this, and I talked about this before, is that finding the broadcast partners, that would mean like Comcast, DirecTV, people that would also air the show. And Winton actually left a comment on it saying, well, as long as I can do it without subscribing to something else, I'm cool with whoever they go to. Well, that's the other wrinkle in this, that apparently it's not outside the air of possibility that they do move over to an outlet that you do have to end up downloading an app. This has happened with the Jazz. It's happened with the Suns and the Golden Knights in the NHL, that they're off cable at all and they're on OTA networks, over-the-air networks is what it's called. And that is where it's that digital thing. So you do have to subscribe to a service, which would be bananas if that ends up being the case. So I just wanted to update that. Not a lot to add there, but because that did work on, and you know, in this article from the Chicago Sun-Times, they said the biggest hurdle in all of this is finding a network that's going to be on providers like Comcast and DirecTV, things like that. So we'll see, man. And if they do, it is a big chance that they could add it to one of their higher tiers, to where you have to up your cable service to be able to watch the Chicago Bulls. So don't overlook the possibility of that. It could drastically change the way that you guys watch Chicago Bulls. But let me know what you guys think on all of that. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bulls Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, thanks to you guys. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.